Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Talan, your host and your engineer for tonight's show. And we're excited to have you on our show today. And so we want to open up in prayer with the name of God, most gracious, most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer. And we're thankful and grateful for this opportunity to come to you once again on IWDM Radio. The show tonight is the science of health and youth. It's an interactive lab to discuss a wide array of self-care initiatives for optimal health. We have on our program today always one of our speakers, Abdul Shaheed, out of Chicago, from the School of Symptometry. He's located in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's a professor of that particular school. Well, what is symptometry? A lot of us who have been on the show before, you've experienced the opportunity, but we're going to do this again because we have to keep reiterating what it is because, you know, we walk around with these bodies, our human anatomies, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we don't know how our body operates. Symptomatology is a study of the living cell. We all know that we were born or came about from an egg cell and a sperm cell, and those two particular cells got together, and they created you. The question is, and most of us never ask this question, how in the world did that happen? Our mothers and fathers had a great time, and all of a sudden, here comes you with your heart, your brain, your liver, your kidney, your spleen, your colon, all these muscles and tissues and veins and arteries, capillaries, and we don't know how they function. And we live in a world that provides misinformation, disinformation, and we're trying to make the connection on how to make this happen. If you break the connection between people, their culture, and their health, you break the connection completely. There will be no scholarly attitude. There will be no scholarly concept and thought process because we're operating under somebody else's umbrella. So it's so valuable. It's so important that we know ourself. And we hear this all the time when we get to our Black History Month, which is coming up clear in February. I just say this, take the F off of self. And what does it say? Know thyself. This is the science of health and youth. This is what we're talking about, how our bodies work, how we think, how we process information. You know, kind of realize that we have 200 cell types in our body. And I would say 90% of the people on the line, unless you've been here before, don't even know that. 200 cell types. I want you to hear me clearly. 75 to 100 trillion cells that make up our human body. This is amazing. It's truly amazing, and we don't have anywhere to go, any school to go to, no physics class, no biology class, no chemistry class has ever taught us about our bodies, about our human anatomies, why our knees have ligaments, why our kidneys have ligaments, why we have bone structure, knowing that a bone is merely a hard muscle, and we don't have the clear understanding on how we function as a human being. Now, let's just take this for instance. If you don't know, how in the world do you expect to teach your children or your grandchildren when they ask you a question about the human anatomy, the skeletal system, you know, the respiratory system, digestive system? These are things that we walk around with every single day and don't know anything about it. And the question I ask you tonight is why? What happened to us? Not what's wrong with us. What happened to us that all of a sudden we know nothing about our human being? And I mean human being. We know nothing about anything when it comes to diabetes and high blood pressure because we constantly listen to someone else tell us what to do and how to do it simply because we don't know. This is what this show is about, the science of health for you. We're here every Tuesday in a laboratory environment for you to ask any question you want to ask. We're going to talk about any disease, what we call diseases, that you want to talk about, the cancer, the diabetes, high blood pressure, kidney illness, you know, arthritis, gout, any of those particular things, you will get an answer tonight. You will get an answer every Tuesday. And all of us know that something's wrong with all of us. We all have an issue. We don't even know what it feels like to say how I'm well. What does it feel like to say you're well and you're healthy? What does it feel like? We have to ask ourselves these questions. I'm just, you know, trying to provoke some thought. I'm trying to engineer an opportunity for you to begin to realize how important you are and how if you don't take care of you, then you won't be here. We're not trying to scare anybody. We're definitely not a medical institution where we're trying to tell you that we're giving you medical advice. We're here to provide educational information about the science of you and your health. Tonight's show is very special. We have put together a show that's really, I would encourage everyone who's on the telephone, on the line right now, or in the database, if you're on the internet, call a mother, father, sister, brother, friend, neighbor, young person that you know, and text this phone number to them. Give them the phone numbers. They can come in and listen, because this is going to be very important tonight. We're going to talk about the mental capabilities and the mental problems that we're having in our communities all over this country. We know there's something going on where our young people have no conscience. We know something's going on when we just blow somebody's brain out and go around the corner and have a hamburger. We know something's going on when your child or your grandchild talk to you like they know more than you, going on mentally. We know something's going on when we just started a job. Let's start with the White House and the Congress. People are walking around talking like this out the side of their mouth. Don't make any sense, but they get paid to be in office to govern us. It's amazing. The political end of this whole thing. Then we have the educational system where someone's trying to tell us how to teach our children, and that's our responsibility because that starts at home. But if you don't know where you are, if you don't know what type of country that you stay in, you know we're in a capitalist society, a democratic society, socialist society, fascist society, and you don't have a clue, and you know you need to know, then something's wrong with this picture. This is what this show is all about. It allows us the opportunity to begin to pay attention. We just want you to look in the mirror. We want your children to look in the mirror and tell you about you. What is our culture? What is our history? What do we know about ourselves other than what somebody else has told us, because our educational system is not controlled by us? What do we know about politics? We don't know because of our political situation is controlled by somebody else. Where do we find ourselves in the economic system in this country? Where do we find ourselves in a social and cultural system in this country? Yeah, we talk about black, which is a word that we're not going to use on this program. We talk about white, which is another word we're not going to use on this program. And you'll find out tonight why we won't use that particular word for our cultural identity. We have a lot of work to do, and we have to accept the fact that something's wrong in our country. Something's wrong in our medical field telling us about us. Why isn't your doctor telling you and your children about the cells that make your body up? Why don't they tell us about the 200 cell types? Why don't they tell us about why we got diabetes, how we get high blood pressure, how we get kidney problems? Nobody, no doctor addresses that, but he sure will give you a white piece of paper with an RX on it until you go fill that prescription, not knowing what's in that prescription, if you have side effects, what to give you another pill because of that side effect, and another pill because of that side effect. And next thing you know, you're on three or four medications for a simple thing that we talk about here on the show, like high blood pressure, simple. Diabetes, simple. Arthritis, simple. Heart disease, simple. And believe me, cancer, simple. We just don't know the answers, and this is a problem. This is what we have in this particular show tonight, talking about the mental health, uncovering the scheme of the mental health in our culture, in our country. We have an outstanding guest tonight, as well as we always have our outstanding health coach who's always on giving us information for free. He doesn't ask us for a dime to provide us with different processes and information and guidelines, websites, articles that will allow us the opportunity to do what? To study and research for ourselves. Because every time we hear a person who look like us, and some of us, I would say 80-90% of us on the phone are African American. Every time someone try to tell us something, how you know that? But did you ask the doctor? Did you ask the grocery store man whether the food was good or not? Did you ask the banker who manages your money and takes your money from you that you willingly give to every single time you get paid? Did you ask them about your culture? Who gave us this black history? Did you ask anybody? Did we do the research? Did we come together as a group and to make a decision for ourselves on what we needed to do to make sure we have some form of generational legacy that we can leave our children, which is culture, ladies and gentlemen? I know you guys are tired of hearing me talk. I get emotional about this because I'm concerned about my grandchildren. I'm concerned about my daughter and my son. I'm thoroughly concerned to make sure that they are well taken care of if I'm no longer here. What are we going to do? Where do we leave them? Have we ever thought about it? Do I have our financial situation put in place? Do we have our wills and our trust put in place? What's going on in our communities where we can't manage ourselves and don't talk about and blame nobody else for it? We failed to do the research. We failed to educate ourselves. We failed to do a lot of things. So I'm not going to blame anybody for anything, but I am going to say we're going to get inspired tonight, as we always are on IWBN Radio. For those of you who are on the Internet and need to ask a question, you can't call in from the Internet to ask a question. You have to call 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. And those of you who can't get on the line, if you have a question you need answered, you can always text me. And text me your question, and I will ask to our guest tonight at 650-669-0458. Once again, that's 650-669-0458. We have to be informed, ladies and gentlemen. We have to reform. We have to do a lot of things that a lot of us shun and run from. Every time we start to tell the truth, we just take off and start running. We don't want to hear it. We got to get to the truth. It's the only thing going to save our families. The only thing is going to make us better people. The only way we're going to make it. So we ask that you take your shoes off, get your pen and your pad, because you're going to need to take some notes today. Because you're going to hear things that you never heard before from the health, you're going to hear things you never heard before from the cultural perspective. So we have a double dose for you tonight. We have a behavior modification program tonight. We're not going to be the same people. So if you don't want to change, you can hang your phone up right now and get off. Because what you hear tonight is going to change your life. What you hear tonight is going to change your life. So we have on the line our instructor, Abdul Shaheed, who's on with us every single week. We have on the line tonight Arthur, and we're going to try to make this work. We're going to make this work and give you both sides of the equation. You know, just both sides of the equation. We need both sides. Culture, what is it? So before we get started, I want to do something a little bit different. I want, and I mentioned in my text to everyone who got it or my email, K-N-O-W. I'm going to ask our public service announcement to come on to take 60 seconds. Then he can basically tell you what I want you to know about tonight's show. K-N-O-W. Before we get started, and we bring on Shaheed Abdullah, who's our author for tonight, with a book that we will talk about, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And we have our instructor, Abdul Shaheed, who's going to talk to us about our health. So, Mark Shaheed, I know you're on the line, and we want you to take 60 seconds. You know, we only got a minute, as Benjamin May say, but you got a minute to tell us about K-N-O-W. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Salam, and to your very distinguished, esteemed guests of facilitators tonight, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. That word, no, K-N-O-W, actually an acronym that I use in the Learning Lab, means know now or wonder. Know now or wonder. You know, knowing is growing, so you can know now as you listen in to this outstanding broadcast of the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Know now or wonder. You don't want to wonder because you'll be wondering. So that's the acronym for the word know. Know now or wonder. Thank you. Back to you, Rashid Salam.
Thank you so much, Mark. Know now or wonder. Why did I do that? Because we know we are lacking one thing. That's knowledge, the proper knowledge of ourselves. And if our guest author is on the line, we ask you to press 1 on your phone so I can see if you're in the queue. You need to press 1 on your phone so I can see you're in the queue. But we do have Abdul Shaheed mic open. And if there is a mic that needs to be opened from the East Coast, we're in Rochelle, New Jersey, press 1 on your phone so I can make sure you're on the line. So I hope I didn't take up too much time, Abdul Shaheed, you know, talking about the study of the human cell. And, you know, I really wanted to say more, but, you know, this is not my job. My job is to host the show and engineer the show, and I hope and pray that I did a decent job to bring you in. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the first 10 minutes here and have you talk about cytometry, who you are, and why it's important for us to know about cytometry. And we want to have you do a five-minute presentation, up to about 20 minutes, because we know you only got 1 hour tonight, so we want to get you in early. But the most important thing, being that we're talking about mental health and culture, the mental health piece is so important, so we're going to bring the culture part in after that so we can know why we have a mental health problem, other than the fact that we have a food problem, other than the fact that we have a problem that we don't know about, don't understand is human anatomy we're talking about. So the study of cytometry and the study of the living, focusing on the living human cell, we ask that you give us an overview. Just...
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rashid. We give all the praise and the thanks to the Almighty for allowing us to be here this evening and for allowing our listeners to be here with us. Brother Rashid, there's so much to health that our people have been just taken for granted. And not just our people, the people in general just take for granted. So many things about health. Health starts in our mind first. You know, I started studying cytometry the first day of Ramadan, 2013. I'll never forget it. I happened to be on a conference call. The conference call was conducted by Imam Instructor Benjamin Balak. I just happened to be on it. And he has a person on there talking about life structure, water, scientific eating, scientific cooking, all those things. And I was just intrigued about H1206 water, not H2O, H1206, life structure water. Exogenous water and scientific cooking in the Nation of Islam. Your Honorable Elijah Muhammad had this book, How to Eat to Live. Not Eat to Die, How to Eat to Live. There was a big connection there to scientific eating and scientific cooking and scientific living on this planet. So that's when I started doing my research about cytometry. After a couple of years, I decided to become a student. I had to go back to school, Brother Rashid. I had to take 2 6-month courses for prerequisites, since I didn't have a medical background, just to get into school. A whole year of prerequisite. And those classes dealt with the colon, the liver, the pancreas, and how these things function together. How all of the organs depend on each other, how the liver is a resource for every organ in the body, that the human body is interconnected, integrated, interrelated, interdependent. If you have a problem in one organ, sooner or later there'll be a problem in other organs. All of these things, and how food poisons us. We poison ourselves, and sometimes we don't wake up. And these are the things that happens. So cytometry, we come to find out, it's the most natural and scientific means to address the needs of human cells. It is our cells that's in charge of our health, along with microbes. Microbes are those things you cannot see. They are the enforcer to the health rule. They enforce the rule. They don't care whether you're ignorant of the rule or not, Brother Rashid. They don't care whether somebody taught you about the rules, the natural laws, the universal laws, the rules to the pH rule, the iron rule. They don't care whether you learn it or not. when you break them, they are there to punish you. And sometimes it would be by death. So that's why I take this seriously. And there are so many things that we're overlooking. We take where we are and who we are for granted. We need to begin to understand who we are and how we got here and where we are on this planet. This is planet Earth, a very predatory and toxic place, negative energy that come from human beings that look like you. They are predatory. And we've gone through centuries of trauma with no help. This is what Scientology is here for us to do, to correct our mistakes, to repair. We talk about reparation. We need to repair ourselves first before we get reparation, mentally, emotionally, physically, organ-wise, metabolic, all of the 11 systems, because that's what it takes to be a human. You get money, you get benefits, and you still make the wrong decision. What's the point of that? And you still repeating your own mistakes and the mistakes of the people that came before? This is Scientology. It's not just about health. It's about how to live as a human being on this planet and understand the rules, the laws of physics that govern everything. Quantum physics that govern the unseen things. And we're going to be Muslim and not know about it? Are we going to be believers in the Almighty and not know about these things? This is what Scientology is all about. So I began to study Scientology. I became a student. My wife and I, we passed the prerequisite courses to start the bachelor class. Went through all of the bachelor, the associate, the bachelor, the master. Now we're in the doctorate program at the American School of Scientology. And we're also an instructor. I'm the instructor for the class Scientology 101. They're very basic. They're very basic. And we're also, both of us, my wife and I, are certified. I've emphasized that word, certified Scientology health coaches. There's a root cause for every disease. There's a product that produced the disease. Every disease has a product that produced it. Allopathic medicine, chiropractic, acupuncture, traditional Chinese medicine, all these other therapeutics, they treat symptoms, brothers and sisters. They do not go to the root cause to remove what's causing the imbalance. Sometimes they go to the root cause and remove it from the person. So in order to cure disease, that's what has to happen. You can do surgery. You can administer drugs. You can do herbs. You can change all and have all kind of diet. None of those things work to remove diseases from the person. None of them. And I was saying earlier that the human being has two components. And health and disease starts in the person's mind, that part of the person that you cannot see. It has all of the commitment, the intention, the real power of the unseen is in the person's mind. But the mind can be manipulated, Brother Rashid. Do we have our own mind? I'm here to say, no, we don't, most of us. We know we don't, and this is part of the problem. If you don't have your own mind, how can you make decisions that's going to benefit you, be in your best interest? Everything starts with the mind. Why? Because the mind is the decision maker, even though the brain is the command center of the human body. And it's our decision. Everyone has consequences. And these things that we have to know, what it takes to be a human, the neurotransmitter, neurochemical, the neurons, the hormones, the enzyme, those are things that control human behavior. You can counsel a person. You know, you can go along with that. Psychologists have never cured one mental illness, and they never will. And the world is getting sicker and sicker. What are we going to do about it? Brother Rashid, I just leave it right there.
Well, thank you so much for that information. as you were speaking, you know, something came to mind. That was sensibilities and sensitivities and, you know, how we have lost touch. And, you know, so
yes.
I know your medical background has shared with us, you know, why certain things in our mind and our brain and our ability to connect and make a rational decision, you know, bringing a decision to its logical conclusion. You know, we have some difficulties with that. So my focus is really, I want these babies. You know, here I go again. Every week I get on these babies. You know, we keep talking about the future. Our children are
absolutely
future. But our children are our present. Unwrap this box so we can have a future, because if we don't, we're not going to be here. So
absolutely,
what are we leaning for our children to be able to utilize to continue our legacy? This is one of the reasons we're going to bring up culture tonight. But it's so important for us to understand why we can't even get to the culture, because we can't even think properly. If we did think properly, we don't take the time out to want to read, want to do research. We have, you know, these sensitivities that I'm tired or I don't feel like it. Your emotional disposition is all out of whack. We have to change that if we plan to be around here for a while, because we're going to have physical changes in our body sizes and characteristics. That's going to happen. We're going to have a mental condition that changes our ability to think, you know, beginning with abstract thinking, you know, how to expand our thought processes, you know, the cause and effect of relationships and how to set goals and how to plan life, increase focus on time management. We need that functionality in our mental disposition. And
absolutely.
Our emotional makeup, you know, changes in experiences and expressions, our feelings, you know, we talk about that. We have been talking about that for months on this particular show on why emotions are the way they are, why our mental conditions are the way they are, and also why our physical conditions are the way they are. But guess what? We're going to talk about them social changes tonight, why we can't get along with each other, why we're fighting each other, why we don't have proper peer influence on our children, why our children are running around 15 years old out at 1 o'clock in the morning getting shot, drive-by shootings. You know, where is that sense of independence and self-reliance that you can't control your family makeup? What happens to us? You know what I'm saying? You know, so we have to begin to relate that everything starts in the house. Our children are leading us. You know, they're like the Pied Piper. Well, we not lead the children nowhere. They're leading us down, and they taking us to a place we don't even want to go. You know, we really are. So we talk about that here on this show, why food affects all those dispositions, why food affects our socialization, why food affects our emotion, our mental health, and the physical health. So if you can just do one quick thing for me before I think our guest speaker is on the phone right now. We will have an opportunity to have him talk. But, you know, the first, you know, we got about, boy, time moves fast, doesn't it? It really moves fast. I want you to kind of share with us the mental, our mind and our brain, how it works together, and some of the main reasons why we're not processing information properly. If you can just share with the audience real quick on that.
Certainly, Brother Rashid. And we say it often on this program that the human being is a high-maintenance, energy-dependent, interconnected, integrated. All of those connections, what affects one part affects the other part. And here's the thing, what people do not realize. Every time we eat food, it leaves garbage behind, debris behind, concretion behind. Even when we eat scientifically, Brother Rashid, it is our responsibility to clean up the debris, the garbage, the concretion that's left behind after digestion. No one is coming to clean it for us. We have to learn about these things. Blood circulates everywhere in all nooks and crannies of our systems, carrying resources and nutrients and waters and glucose. If blood has impurities in it, hundreds of impurities, blood impurities, hundreds of them, and then our cells are congested because they are so tiny, 1/50th of a pinhead, you can see how easy how they can become congested. And all of the mechanism of the cell machinery are packed into 1/50th of a pinhead. Then we have the nucleus with things packed into that. All these things govern our health. So it starts with the food. Here's another thing that most people do not know. There's no perfect food on planet Earth for a human being to consume. I repeat that. All food has a problem. There's no perfect food. Now, the criteria is to eat the food, to select the food to eat that has the most nutrients and the least health disruptors. And the health disruptors that they have, you must have a method to neutralize them or avoid them. Now, does that sound sensible or reasonable?
Yes, sir.
But it's hard to get people to understand that. So I start out with the food. And the food is where most of our blood impurities are coming from. Then we have the air that we breathe. And we know the condition of the air, most of us, in these cities, even in the countryside. There are things in the air that are circulating that you do not have the enzyme to break down, to liquefy, to get it out of your system. That's why people have seasonal allergies. Can't break down ragweed. Can't break down mice, can't break down particle waste, and we hadn't even got to the radioactive isotope that's in the atmosphere that we're breathing all the time. Then we're not even talking about the condition of the person's car. You don't have money. You can't keep your car in good repair. Although environmental devices, you got engine light, check engine light, check engine light on. Now, you're breathing all kinds of fumes every time you get in your car. Then in your house, you've got all kind of fungus, mold, mildew. They're everywhere. In the air, you're breathing. Now, let's look at more detail of the food, the plant food. We don't plant them inside the house. They're outside. They're exposed to everything. Then we spray pesticide, herbicide, fungicide, rodenticide on them so they don't eat those things up. Then we go to the store to buy those things. In the store, they're still spraying sulfite to keep them nice, fresh, and looking, so you buy them. And you come home, you rinse some water on them, and you make a salad. You cannot eat a salad and talk about it's healthy. I'm getting all my enzymes. Well, plant enzymes do not work in a human. Plants are different than human. The enzyme that plant has is for the plants, not for human. They don't work. We have to produce our own enzyme. So this thing just began to cascade blood impurities from the air, from the water, from the food. We didn't even talk about the water yet. We have some cities that's emphasized about water. One of them, Flint, Michigan. Then Jackson, Mississippi. But the truth is, it's in every city. Every city have impurities in the water. My advice to us is don't drink the water. Don't cook with it. This is what Centimeter recommendation is. We have to step it up, Brother Rashi, if we're going to be healthy and get our health, our mind back, get our brain back so we can make better decisions and correct our mistakes so our children correct their mistakes and our own mistakes. This is the process of life. So each generation will inch closer and closer to perfection. I cannot repeat my parent mistakes. But if I do, I'm going to have the same diseases they had. I'm going to die from the same thing that they died from. I'm going to be stuck where they are. So it's imperative that we correct our mistakes. And the way we do it is we have to focus on health. And it starts with our mind first. We have to have the intent to get better. You know, Brother Rashid, I talk to people every day. There are some people who don't want to get better health-wise. Dang. They don't want to learn how to do anything different. They're set. What can you do about those people?
Not much.
But there's too many of them in our community. They don't want to learn anything new. If somebody look like them, bring them something new, they have a problem with it.
Yes.
Big time problem. So the question is, how can you help someone get better when they don't want to get better? How can you help someone to improve their health when they're not ready to? See, this is the difference between cytometry and other therapeutics. Cytometry works if the person is ready. You have to be ready because health and disease starts in the person's mind. And you have to deal with the truth. Those microbes do not care that enforces the health rule. If you break the rule, you're going to be punished. So you have to enforce scientific cooking, scientific eating, and scientific living. You have to select your food scientifically, and you have to prepare it scientifically to have the least amount of blood impurities circulating in your blood. Then you must use subatomic particles called particulates to ionize the brain. Wherever you heard a physician talk about ionizing the brain, or psychologists or psychiatrists talk about ionizing the brain. Why the brain? Because the brain we can work on, Brother Rashid. We don't see the mind. Where is it? It could be anywhere. And that's it. That's the problem. Psychiatrists try to focus on the psyche. You can't see that. They don't even know where it is. It could be on Mars, Jupiter, who knows? The fact of the matter is, there's a relationship between the brain and the mind. If the mind is congested, it is because the brain is congested. This is what cytometry has discovered. If you work on the person's brain, which we can see, remove the concretion with subatomic particles, and nourish the brain with dehydrated nutrients, so the brain will begin to produce enzymes like acetylcholine esterase to remove old acetylcholine, so it can be replaced with new acetylcholine for thinking and intelligent. This is where human beings start. Intelligent. That is the human being defense mechanism. Every biological organism has its own defense mechanism. The human being defense mechanism is intelligent. I'm sorry to get carried away, Brother Rashid. This is the reason why so many of our children are here killing each other. They cannot produce acetylcholine esterase to remove old acetylcholine.
Right.
And the brain has all kind of concretion, plaque. They eat the wrong food, saturated fat. So now you have plaque on the brain, which means blood is slowed down. Plaque causes deceleration of everything in the human body. When things must move at the speed of light, nerve being nourished at the speed of light, signal being fired and received at the speed of light by the neurons, nerves are embedded in the muscle to receive the signal to move your foot, your toe. But if the nerves are being interrupted by saturated fat or plaque, it's not going to happen. When it comes to thinking, it's not going to take place. The signal will be interrupted. Then what are they going to use for thinking? When that time comes to make a decision, should I pull out my gun? Or should I try to talk with my brother.
Well, we know what's going on, that's for sure.
No connection with reality.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, when you change yourself, you change the world, you know. So what we're talking
Absolutely.
About here, it's how our bodies work. You know, so
that's how
parents,
it works, Brother Rashid. That's how it was intended to work. We have to change ourselves. And what we do, we can become healthy again, mentally, emotionally, on every level, physical. It's not disjointed. It's all connected. It's one biological existence.
We're talking about self-discovery here, brother. You know, the real power in the human capacity is based on the knowledge of self. You know, so if we don't get to that point where we can treasure knowledge that we can apply to ourselves, how do we intend to have a future? You know, I mean, the point I'm trying to make to the audience tonight is that this is just a tip of the iceberg. We haven't even covered anything. You think what you just heard tonight was something. This is every third Tuesday. You're in a classroom lab of physics, of chemistry, and biology. The understanding of the systems. We have so many systems in our body, and if one of them is out of whack, guess what has an effect on the others? As the older we get, we become, I'll say the word, decrepit. And then when your child comes to you, ask you a question, leave me alone, go watch TV. And leave me, I don't feel like asking, why are you doing that? Here's another human being trying to communicate with you, and you have this disregard for another human being and don't even know why.
No patience.
This culture identity, and there's reasons why you're impatient. There's reasons why you're incorrigible. There's reasons why things happen when you have an attitude. There's reasons for it, but you don't know, and yet you are displaying this disposition to the world and to your children, and you expect your children to follow you? You expect them to do what you say? When you don't eat right, you know, you're 30 pounds overweight. I'm not talking about anybody. You know, you got a cane, your hip hurts, you got diabetes. And why would they listen to you? You can't even tell them how not to get what you have. But the first thing you do is take them to the doctor as soon as their nose starts running. Taking in a pill. I need some cough syrup, cough medicine. Do you know what that stuff is? We don't ask the doctor anything. He don't tell you. So we need to be concerned about what's going on in our life. And this is where we're going to get into this culture problem that we have. Why are we acting like this? We already know that our disposition and our brains are not functioning right because nothing is connected. Why? Because we're not scientifically eating. We don't know what to do, how to do, but yet we depend on this cultural identity called the United States of America. Like they've always told us the truth about something. We're not going to get into vaccines tonight. We're not going to get into flu shots. We're not even going to get into those particular things, but let us understand something. We have a little time here. We're going to make sure we focus in on what's wrong, what happened. We already got this identified, so put that on your, write that down on your pad. I don't eat right. Food kills. I need to know more about food in my body. That's on the other side. Now let's talk about how we got to this point. How this misthinking came into existence, and why we are so dependent on somebody other than ourselves. Why are we so dependent on a people who brought us here 400 years ago? I'm not talking about all Europeans, so that's not the issue. But there's some social predators out here who brought us here with a scheme that's way beyond our imagination. And by us not being able to think properly, we can't even figure it out. We don't know what they're doing to us. We cut the television on, and we're totally influenced by something that comes on this bull box, like they're going to tell you the truth about something. They have no concern about your ability and your ability to function. You send your children to the school. Oh, hey, my dad got a master's degree from Harvard. Really? Master's degree? Did you hear the word? Where's the degree about who we are? Why are we thinking about ourselves? Why are we doing more business with ourselves? Why don't we pool our resources? Why aren't we owning land? How come we don't own businesses? We're going to find out tonight. Buckle in, ladies and gentlemen. pick up the phone and call somebody else on the telephone, because you finna go for a mental ride tonight that you had never gone from before. And right now you're going through a mental ride. You did not know what you just heard today. You did not know what you heard today, so not to apply it to your thinking process, not to even say next Tuesday I'm going to be on this line, not to start planning right now, today, for the future, because guess what? This is the science of your health, and it's all about you. We're not here to just to talk. I'm going to say he's on the phone. I ain't paying him any money. He don't get a check from me. To come over and spend 2 hours with me every Tuesday. He's here because he loves his people, because he has some information that's valuable to ourselves. But the most important thing, I want you to remain on the line. Keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. It's those children. What's happening all over this country? Tulsa, St. Louis, Chicago, Florida, Mississippi, all over this country, we're blowing each other's brains out. Why don't we like each other? Why are we killing each other instead of doing business with each other? We have to be concerned about this. And then you have this one problem, and I'm going to bring on our guests. There's another ethnic group out here. And I'm going to say, like you say down south, crazy as a Bessie Bird. They are out of their mind. And they have one problem. They don't like you. They don't even want you to vote. They don't want you to open up any businesses. Oh, they got, I'm a financial person, ladies and gentlemen. They thing called credit score. Don't you be fooled by this stupid mess talking about them credits. I'm a bank man. That's designed specifically to keep you African-American people at certain zip codes from getting what they need to get. You make $80,000, well, your credit score is 610. I can't give you that money that you're looking for, even though your business plan is outstanding. But they'll use that against you. What is that all about, Mr. Economic Person? We can't run for office. You know, they gerrymander in our communities where no matter whether our communities have more blacks than Europeans, we can't vote our African-American people in. What's going on in this political world? We have some issues we want to talk about. So tonight, we push one on your phone, Dr. Shaheen, if you're on the line. Press 1 so I can see you in the queue. And we're going to talk about what we're talking about. we're still talking about health care, no matter how you want to look at it. We still talk about mental disposition, no matter how you have to look at it. What does culture identity have to do with all this? So we're going to take about, matter of fact, let's do this real quick before we bring on our guest speaker and before I introduce him. Anyone who has a question, Abdul Shaheen, and things that he has said tonight, or maybe some things you want to know about. Maybe you have a friend who has high blood pressure, diabetes, or arthritis, or gout, or on kidney dialysis, can't hardly walk. Maybe you have a question for one of them. So if you do, press 1 on your phone. And welcome again to IWDM Radio. This is Rashid Salam, the host and engineer of tonight's show of The Science of Health in You. And if you have a question, push 1 on your phone. Those who are on the internet, 650-669-0458. Text me, and I will ask the question online live so you can get your answer. So anyone who has a question before for Dr. Instructor Abdul Shaheen, before we go to our next guest, feel free to press 1 on your phone. Don't feel bad. None of us know that we don't know. All of us got that situation. We don't know that we don't know. There's nothing wrong with it. But there's something wrong with you not asking that question about what you don't know. Well, you can get the answer right here. Get your answer. If your toe's swollen up, get the answer for us. If your hip is hurting and someone telling you to get a knee replacement or a hip replacement, come on. We had a program yesterday where a guy, he's going to get his cataracts taken out by laser, and he got his answer right there on the line that he didn't need cataract surgery. You know somebody who don't feel well. You know someone in your family is not healthy. And you've got an opportunity to ask that question. Let's push 1 on your phone before we bring on our next guest. It's so important that we understand what's taking place. So we have 918. Here we go. Looks like somebody just dropped off. Here we go. 918-814, please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Rahima from Tulsa, Oklahoma. How are my brothers doing this evening? Sound like y'all fired up and ready to go.
Oh, fired up.
Alhamdulillah. I had a meeting the other night, so I missed the meeting. I missed about the laser thing. Because I know my cataracts have swollen up, so I need to know the answer to that one, the natural solution to that one. But the reason why I called is because the last time I was on, you had a couple of guests, and they were talking about the water needed to be electrolyte. It should have electrolytes in it, and that, that was an expensive water. So after I started thinking about it, I remember that my grandmother, for some reason, used to always take her fingers and flop them around in the water sometimes before she would drink it. And I never questioned her. You know, you didn't question old folks back in the day. I never questioned her as to why. But I do know that the body is electrical, and that may have been why she was doing it. The other thing is that I do know, I think you all might have mentioned that water also has memory. And so if, and you know about Dr., what's his name, Ian's experiment with the three different water. You know, they do it in the Muhammad University of Islam schools. The three different, one water, you just put it in the freezer, and the other one, you say all kinds of nasty things over it, and the other one, you say all kinds of sweet things over it, and the one that you say all the sweet words over comes out when it gets hard as like a beautiful crystal design. And the one that you all do all these filthy words over, it comes out all cracked up. So I know you all know about this experiment. So I was thinking about natural substitutes for electrolytes, how you put, and isn't there something like lime or lemon that you can put in your water to kind of give it some electrolytes? Okay, I'm going to shut down and listen.
All of the home remedy.
we have to
back in the
science, the science, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to share the science with you.
Yes, sir. All right, I'll be listening. Thank you.
Okay, excellent question, and we certainly appreciate you asking those questions because it's going to help so many other people. You want me to go ahead and answer that, Brother Rashid?
Yeah, go ahead and answer. I'm just saying, y'all, let you have 2 minutes because you got to get off at 8.
You know, we've both been having a meeting, but nobody sent me the link, so I'm going to keep talking until I hear the link.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead and answer that before you get
Here's the thing. She was talking about the water has memory. And that you say nasty and bad things to it, then it will form in a certain way. Brother Rashid, that's the universe. It's not just the water. It's everything. That's why you cannot heal with negative energy. A human being can only heal with positive energy. Now, what's the difference between positive energy and negative energy? They all have the same offshoot of energy. But there's something different about negative energy. Now, what would it be that gives it its character, its signature? Here's the thing. Negative energy subtangents are tension, resistance. Sound like some people. Resistance. Drag. Stasis, deceleration, and eventually, inertia. When you get to inertia, Brother Rashid, when things are not moving,
uh-oh,
there's no life, there's death there.
Right.
You at the point of no return. And you relate that to community life, you understand what is going on. If the family have tension and resistance all the time, negativity all the time, they're experiencing, how can you come together?
All right.
To save the children, to save the community, to prevent diseases, to improve education, to change the whole outlook of the community life. Everything starts with our intention. So the experiment with the water, yeah, that is true. That's scientific. But it's with everything. It's not just water. It's with everything, with human. Think about saying negative things to human and what happens. We talk about what the reaction of the water, but we overlook the reaction of the human.
Wow. Never thought about it. In a thinking process.
See, the human being is a dynamic medium. Human dynamism. That's what Scintometer calls it. Human dynamism. Imam Muhammad said that the human being is a creature of influence. It's always negative, 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 negative. What do you think they're going to be? What you going to produce? So now when it comes to the water, the reason why we must drink water with electrolyte, because electrolyte represents a supplement to the source of electricity that our cell must have. There are five different sources of supplemental electrical energy for our cells. Electrolyte is one of them. Using salt, iodine salt, with cations is another one. It helps our cells to have more electricity, electrical energy. Thermal energy is another one. Thermal energy has electricity in it. And we're always eating something cold. We're doing just the opposite. We're compromising our health because we're reducing the amount of heat. Therefore, we were reducing the electrical energy. The human body is a walking battery. And we know what happened with our car battery. After the cells in the battery began to die, it stopped functioning. Now, what happened with the cells in the human being began to die, and we don't replace them? We can't make that connection? It's strange that we can make connection to all these other things that really makes no difference. But when it comes to applying these things to the human body, we somehow get lost. So we have to drink water with electrolyte to add additional electrical energy as a supply to our cells. They are electric.
Right. Okay.
So when it comes to the sources of cataracts, we have cataract because we have blood impurity. We have concretion circulating in our blood. We have floaters that we see in our eyes. Where's the floaters coming from? Blood impurity, concretion. Why is there a problem with our eyes? The eyes are not being nourished. Why? Because the capillaries that nourishes them are so tiny and hair-like, and they have blockages, concretion, blocking blood supply. The blood supply is being blocked. Therefore, the cell of the eyes are not getting the resources and the nutrient that they need to produce what? Eye essentials, to keep the eyes what? Healthy. This is how everything in the human body works, Brother Rashid. Everything works that way. Just like the eyes. If the cell do not produce the essential, our cell produce everything. There are many manufacturers. There are many factories. That's what they do. They manufacture our brain essential, our body essentials, and our cell essential. No man can produce these things. They got us confused. The medical industry think that they can produce these things and have replacements for hormone, replacement for neuron, replacement for antibiotics, all these things. Our body make the best antibiotic in the universe. It's called phenol. It is the stronger antibody in the universe. How can man compare with what the Almighty has created already? There's no comparison. We just have to understand what to do and what to give our cells, and they will do everything for us. Our cells have a common intelligence, Brother Rashid. And here's the thing. Here's the connection. The universe, the creation, produced three essentials for life simultaneously. Number one was energy. Number two, the matrix that we're made up of, and everything in our body is made up of it. Matrix. And number three, automation. Automation is what produced atomic intelligence for ourselves. Automation came with all of the various energy coming together.
Sounds like
these are the things that we can understand. That's it.
That sounds like technology to me.
This is how they discovered the technology, Brother Rashid, by studying human beings.
Right.
Every time they come up with something, you can find it already in the human body. There's nothing new under the sun. Now it's for us to start discovering ourselves. The first thing you have to know about health is to know thyself.
Yep. Take the F off. Say it right. Take the F off self.
Yes. Understand who you are, number one, and where you are. Those are the two questions that must be answered before you can talk about curing diseases. This is what symptomology teaches. Who you are and where you are. If you don't understand those two things, how can you cure diseases? You cannot. You will not. You won't. That's where it starts.
All
so
right.
We're in it with that. I could say a few more things, but we're in it right there with that. That was an excellent question.
You have his number before we get off the line, as well as the website on the Human Eyes. It's a beautiful article on the website as well, too. And we'll have an opportunity for you to extend or expand your knowledge base. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you
for sharing.
Thank you.
All right. Then, we get into that culture. It's coming around, How can it just coming around? So we're going to have a chance to get into that. We have one more caller with his hand up, and we're going to take this caller, and everybody's getting ready. This is IWDM Radio. My name is Rashid Talam, and I'm your host and engineer for tonight's show. We're talking about the science of health in you, and our show today is Uncovering the Scheme centered around mental health and culture. And you just had so much about mental health already on how we function, how we work, the misinformation, the disinformation, the importance of not knowing. We know there's a health police within our body, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't do right by your body, the health police come and attack. They attack you. We have to know the automation that he's talking about. We have to know the matrix that he's talking about. We have to know about the energy levels that drive us and make us understand and your body functions right. It is imperative that we get to this point where we just value ourselves. So we're going to take 347-751, and please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is now open.
Thank you. This is Mohassan Abdul Salam calling from New York, and
yes,
I'm happy to be on call tonight and giving greetings to your guest tonight, Brother Abdul Shaheed, and the listeners. And this has been a saturating session of information that he has shared. We can tell that he has been greatly, and his wife have been greatly enriched through the study of symptometry. And so as I listened, there were several what I consider essential questions that came to me that I pray Allah he can answer. First, I want to say that, I really began to think I would push the one, Brother Rashid, when you made the statement, and it sounds like ill health is the result of physiological imbalance, and that the first thing that suffers and even related to culture is our sensibilities and our sensitivities, which have been increasingly muted, threateningly muted, if not to the detriment of our whole body wellness and health. And this is, you're reiterating as a critical aspect. So what I want to know, I'm going to cut to the chase, right? I want to know, number one, what concrete steps can the listeners, interested listeners on tonight's program take? Step one, step two, step three, et cetera, to begin to address what it is clearly their responsibility to address. Question number two, How do we begin to undo what we've inherited from prior generation missteps? He was saying that it seems tonight, even listening, people may think that Tim's commentary is just too complicated. Where do I begin to learn how to navigate the knowledge with knowledge and coaching to acquire consistent guidance and information to cure myself at the root cause level? And my last question, this is a little sensitive, why does it sound like and impact me as though you emphasize the punishment dynamic of health assessment more than the healing potential? I'll stop right there.
Okay. You want to hold on for a while before we get to it? I guess you want to answer that as succinctly as you possibly can. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can go ahead.
Say that again,
Sister Mahasit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We can go ahead and answer that right now, Brother Rashid. It's not a problem.
Go right ahead and answer that, and then we'll bring our guests on, our secondary guests on for that.
Yeah, but I try not to take so many words.
Okay.
First of all, Sister Mahasit, I thank you for the question. The person must be ready. First of all, they must be ready to come to syntometry. Everyone is not ready. And you cannot force a human being or convince a human being to do anything that they're not willing to do. So they have to be looking for an improvement in their life, and they have to be looking for the solution. So if they're ready, then we can help them. If they're not ready, then that's where the friction, the tension, the resistance, the negative energy comes in. It comes into play. So if the person is not ready to change their diet, to modify their diet, to modify their lifestyle, then time is not going to work for them. If they're not ready to be coached, Syntometry is not going to work for them. If they're not ready to correct their mistakes, Syntometry is not going to work for them. And we have enough experience to know that. That's the case. So the first thing, in order for them to get some help, Sister Mahasit, every disease starts in the same way, regardless of what name they call it. It doesn't make any difference about the name. A person matrix has fissures or crack in the matrix. We're made from matrix. The DNA has been compromised. The RNA are compromised. There are blood impurities circulating in the person's blood. There are concretion to have the cells on lockdown. That's it. That's what produced diseases. Now we have microbes inside of us. If we're not aware of these things, then we would not have a sense of urgency. There are microbes inside of us. They don't care whether we know about syntometry or not. They're going to follow through on what they've been told to do. They're the enforcer to the health rule. They will eat us inside out. This is the knowledge I'm learning. Don't take it for granted. We wonder why our body is deteriorating? Because there are microbes inside of us that produce enzymes to break it down. This is what happens. So the first thing we have to do, number one, is to remove the blood impurities. Only syntometry remove blood impurities. The doctors do not do it. The acupuncture, the chiropractor, the tradition of Chinese medicine, all these therapeutics, they address symptoms. And you go through the illusion like they're doing something. But they will never cure the disease. Remove the blood impurity with ionization, hydrolysis, or oxidation. Those are things that's done on the atomic level. We use subatomic particles. That's what particles are. Subatomic particles. The atom consists of electrons, protons, neutrons. These are basic science that we all should know about. So there should be no mystery. There should be no doubt in how they are used. in the 17th century. That's the first time they were used, way in the 17th century, over 200 years ago. What happened? Somebody knew about them. Now we have symptometry that have improved them and explain how they work. The person who discovered them in the 1700s didn't have the science and had not evolved to the point to explain how they work, and the person would make mockery of. They're not mocking today, Sister Mahasit, because now we can explain how they work. The energy phenomena. That's why they work. The energy phenomena that started everything in the creation. That's why they work. So that's the first thing. You use subatomic particles, particularly to ionize the blood impurity, to ionize the concretion, so the cell would come off a lockdown. Where things can go into the cell membrane is made permeable again. Number two, we must seal the matrix where it have cracks in it. In order to do that, the person must have a full reservoir of HDL. That's good cholesterol. You cannot use saturated fat in cooking your food. The liver will produce LDL, bad cholesterol, if you do. And then you have more plaque on the brain making bad decisions. And these things will... This is what would be happening. So all the cells in the glands must have the raw material they need to produce countless hormones, enzymes, neurotransmitter, neurons, and it takes HDL, good cholesterol, to produce those things. Number three, provide methyl to facilitate biochemical reaction. Methyl. That's spelled M-E-T-H-Y-L, in order to have good reaction inside the human body. That's what must be present. Number four, we must dilate the blood vessel for maximum blood flow. That means we have to remove the plaque, the blood impurities, all these things, strengthen the blood vessels, strengthen the capillaries, strengthen the arteries. They've been compromised. This is why we have strokes, aneurysms, all these things. The blood vessel, the capillary, carry the resources. This is the infrastructure that carry the resources to the cell. We must strengthen our heart with the 8 heart muscle protein. No doctor knows how to strengthen the heart. They give you drugs. And the heart is getting weaker and weaker. And it's losing the propulsive force, the pushing force, to push nutrients into the cell. So blood circulates to all of the nooks and crannies of the person's body. So the blood vessel must be strengthened. So blood get to everywhere it needs to get to. Every source, every place need the resources. Just like a community need resources. This is why it becomes dilapidated and broken down and deteriorated. Someone have blocked the resources from receiving in the community, but being distributed to the community. Brother Rashid, you know this better than I do. This is what happened. They redlined the community, blocked resources. Our body operates the same way. That's where they got the idea from. Number five, we must replenish the matrix, the ground substance from which everything is made from, including our own body, the hormone, the enzyme, the protein. All of these things are made from the matrix. Our eyes, our nose, our colon, all the organs, our heart, our chondrogenic fiber that causes us to stand upright, our muscle. Everything, all of the 200 different cell types are produced by matrix, and we must replenish them. And finally, automation must take place again. We must resume automation. That means all of the energy must be present. DNA must be repaired and be aligned with the genes and the three RNAs. And then things will happen like they was intended to happen, and our own body, our own cell will reverse the condition. Those are the steps. I went through them and explained them to you. Then the person must have a certified centimeter health course to make it easy for them to understand. No way they're going to understand what I know in 10 years, in 2 days, in 1 day. It's not going to happen. That's why you need to hire a certified centimeter health course to work along with you and follow the person's instruction.
Okay, my
good
brother.
If the person is ready. If the person is ready.
Yeah, we have our guest on, and he's been very patient.
Excellent.
And we want to make sure that we've gotten the mental health piece out of the way. And now we're going to talk about what happened to us and what some of the problems are. We're going to bring on our guest for the night show. We have an hour left here. And our guest speaker is an author of four particular books. And one of the books that I focus in on and work with him on a regular basis is Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. He is an African-American Delalye Griot who tells and writes about stories that are the heartbeat of the African-American community and our culture. Culture is truly a great part of it. So, you know, we always start off with the definition of culture, so I'm sure he'll start off with that. But we're talking about this mental health piece, and now we're going to tie that into the culture concepts that we talked about. Uncovering the Scheme is a dynamic book. It has a gripping narrative about the African-American culture that is woven into suspense and got hidden layers of deception. Locked in a system of distorted history, it peels back each layer to expose the key elements that are surrounding our information loads. Now, the book itself is what it is, but based on some storytelling, some historic information, we're going to tie that into mental health. We're going to tie that into where our culture came in. We're going to tie that into disinformation and misinformation and all the things that we have never had an opportunity to accomplish. So I'm going to start off as I usually do with him and read the quote from Carter G. Woodson, which was written back in the 1930s. So it shows you that back in those days, they had all their mental faculties. They had all their heads all right, where they were able to deliver information at a time it is relevant today. It says those who have no record of what their forebears have accomplished lose the inspiration which comes from the teaching of biography and history. That is Carter G. Woodson. I'd like, ladies and gentlemen, to bring to you tonight, allow him the opportunity to share who he is, what he is, and tie this whole package together for us from a cultural identity. Brother Shaheed Abdullah, out of New Jersey, New Shell, New Jersey. Brother Shaheed?
Yes.
All right. The floor is yours. But I'm sorry we got you a little late, but the floor is yours at this point, okay?
Can you hear me clearly?
Very clear.
Very excellent.
Clear. Oh, good. All right. My name is Shaheed Abdullah, and I'm an African-American Delalye Griot. And that simply means I tell the stories, write about and tell the stories of the African-American people and how we came into existence in America, how we are evolving, and also those things that try to prevent our evolution. The subject pretty much I'm going to talk on is the dream of our ancestors is our destiny. Now, it's important to know the dream of our ancestors, cut off from that reality, to know the dream of our ancestors. So because we don't know that reality, it's hard for us to salvage information. It's hard for us to determine our direction in the future. So our destiny is sort of distorted because we don't really know the dreams of our forefathers. That's a natural process. There's a natural process in the creation. especially dealing with the social system of man, which is called culture. Culture is a social system that keeps people together. It develops their thinking. It develops their way of life in which they will go. It's a cumulative deposit of knowledge, language, experience, beliefs, values, attitudes, meanings, and hierarchies. Hierarchies are very important in a culture in order for us to really feel that the younger generation has someone or some system in place by which they can make some sure steps toward the future. Religion is another important part. Notions of time, roles that everyone has within a culture, relationships, concepts of the universe, material objects and possessions acquired by our people or its people in the course of generations through the individual and group survival or striving. This is the basic definition of culture. And so many times in our system, because we have been educated by another culture, we've been educated by the European Americans' culture, and we think like they want us to think. In other words, they want us to think how to produce a good life for them, and we get the remains of what's left. That has been the beginning since slavery, and it's still going on today. Culture serves as a womb to give birth to its people and puts them on a path of prosperity, prosperous. This is the birthright of a culture. Now, to sort of find the beginning and find the, some of the things you spoke about this evening in terms of health and the dual action of the creation, because actually that's what we're talking about when you're talking about the health coming from food and how you stay in shape with just exercise and food, whatever the process to deal with the earth, there's a dual action. Part of what we use in the earth helps us to live. The other part causes us to die. The human being is not going to know human being as an individual lives forever. So there has to be a system in place, to cause the human being to flourish and also cause the human being to go back to the earth from which they came. So the dual action all the time. It's not a thing that the food is so bad for us or that the earth is bad to us. No. What it is that the earth and the food and everything on it has been put into a system. It's a system that follows a selective process of laws and regulations, laws that were put in place by the Creator. People get sort of lost on that idea, but as a religious person, we should be very close to the idea that there is a Creator, that we believe there is a Creator, that we believe there is a Creator that's above the creation, and we cannot define that Creator. We need him to give us some understanding of what he is in terms of a creator and his attributes as to what he does with the creation. And there's some very important aspects about that, that the religious person, especially those who study Bible and Quran and Torah, should have as if they know their own name. They should understand certain principles about the Creator. The Creator, according to the scientists, began this whole process of bringing the reality in. They say between 4 and 8 billion years ago, this process started. Process was started in a way that we, as the human being, can't even imagine. The way some books put it, say, and God created the earth. And other books say that God said to the nothingness, kun, which means be. Kun, that's coming from the Quran, Arabic term. It's talking, addressing the nothingness. Now, nothingness is not within the human being's scope. We can't think of nothingness. Our human makeup is designed to think of things, designed to think of something, to work on something. But nothingness is not within our ability to comprehend. But this creature, this creator, said to that nothingness, it came into existence. The whole term is that kun fire kun means be and it is. So the creator is calling nothingness into existence. And what is that nothingness? That nothingness is something we can't comprehend in the beginning, but we do comprehend it as we're living in it, is as it unfolds, as it evolves over these billions of years. We were part of that evolution, that kun, fire kun. We were part of that, and in having that go exactly as the creator, there are certain laws that are put into place in the creation. Everything in the creation, there's a law for it. There's a law for its existence. There's a law for its behavior. There's the law to make it come and go. And there's nothing about this creation that makes up its own mind. Everything in this creation follows the law and obeys the law, except one creature that was given permission, given a gift, not to obey the law in all cases. In order for that creature to be able to do with the creation, as you study food and study the benefit it is to the body, to do its responsibility, this creature's responsibility is to develop the creation into a form that did not exist in the reality, but it exists in the base part. It exists in like mud and water. They both exist. And sand, they all exist. But when you mix them together, you can make bricks. That's what this creature does. And this creature, the creator called man, in some books, Adam. In some books, the Khalifa. And to make sure that the creation's laws are carried out, there are certain things in place. Now, I know that many of us have been taught to think about this kind of idea and things up in the sky. But it's very important that we keep our feet on the ground, firm on the ground. Because to understand the creation and our use of it, we have to be sober-minded. This idea, in which I make big reference in terms of in my books, in terms of how it operates, and how the European American found that out and used it for his benefit and for some of the others' detriment. Creation is carried out through a system that carries out the law. The Greeks called that system angels. Angels to carry messages from one part of the creation to the next part to make sure things are carried out properly. The Arabic term for that is Maliki, whereas the ruler of those laws is called Malik. Malikatu, the ones who carry out the law, some call angels. And the Malikatu says that they don't have nothing that they can do on their own. They have to obey to the letter, the ruler, the Malik. Those terms that show how that concept is put together. is put together better in the Arabic terms because the words are similar, and they mean similar things. One is the ruler, and the other one carry out the rules. It's like the government of the United States. You have the Congress, and then you have the executive branch, and the executive branch carries out the rules and laws that the Congress and the legislature put together. Malaika is about an execution system. It's another system. And then we find in our studies that there are systems, food systems, knowledge systems, and systems of how we get along, and the social systems. All these systems make up the universe, make up our verse. These are systems. So the main thing that we have to really address is how these systems operate and how we can best get our benefit from them. The systems that hold the laws in place were told by the Creator, and you will find this in the book of Genesis in the Bible, and you'll find it also in the book of in the Quran, where it says that the Creator told the system, the Malaika, the angels, the system that have to cause everything to work, he told them to make sujja. The Arabic term was sujja. And that means to bow down, to give up your power. Most of you who are Muslim or know about the Islam and Muslim, they know when they pray, they put their head on their forehead on the ground. That means to give up everything you have, some complete submission. The Creator said this to the angels. The angels were ordered, those who carry out these laws, were ordered by the Creator to make sujda to man, to Adam. And the Creator didn't tell Adam to make sujda to the angels. He told Adam to only make sujda to him. But the angels have to obey, follow the instructions of the man. Without those instructions, we could never take water and take it and turn it into a dam and create enough energy, enough force, and put it in generators, and the generators make electricity, and the electricity becomes power. That's all done because of these laws that hold the earth together, that hold everything together. Man has been given the responsibility and the command by the Creator to use those things to make a better world for himself, to make a world that no other creature can make. Because to make this world that we're in today, it took that kind of power. It took the power of the Creator to tell the creation to give itself up for man, for Adam, so Adam can use this creation for his benefit. And that includes food. That includes nourishment. We're learning now. We're learning how to use nourishment. We're learning the same as we learn how to use the gold and silver and oil and everything that comes out of the earth. We learn to build with it. We learn to make machines. We learn to travel from coast to coast on automobiles and railroads. We learn all of these things, even how to go to the moon, and we're flying into space now. We learn all of these things at the command of the Creator, and we learn how to nourish ourselves by the command of the Creator. We learn how to go into the foods and make the best physical health that will produce the best mental health. Because if the brain is sound, then the thoughts are clearer. There's a direct connection to the way we think and what we eat. A direct connection. Everything in the creation is connected one way or another. So when we eat foods, and they're broken down by the human system, the digestive system, there's a system all over this creation. We are in the what we call the Milky Way is the solar system. Our body has a system to digest the foods, to break it down and put it into the blood channel so it can be carried to all parts of the body. That nourishment that's in that food has to be taken out by the body and taken to its place of origin, the place where the body comes from, where the molecules in the body come from will be recognized by those molecules and those genes that this is the food for this particular gene carried by the blood. That same system now also allows other things in that will cause the human being to begin to deteriorate. We're going to deteriorate no matter how we eat. If we eat the best, we'll just live a better life. But the day will come where we all have to go back to from whence we came. That same process is in play with the social development of man. And that social development is called culture. Now, there's one thing I would like to be able to transmit to your listeners, and that is the concept of sense of urgency. Sense of urgency. Explain a few things. I think you will see the sense of urgency and why we have this problem in our community today. First, I want to start that part by saying we must stop blaming our children. We must stop blaming our children for their behavior. We have to stop blaming our children for their behavior because their behavior is directly connected to our behavior, which should have fed and nourished them the same as a mother nourishes her child. Cultural breakdown. The European Americans saw this coming. We didn't see it coming. We look on ourselves as slaves almost, waiting for the European to tell us what to do. The European American. In 1776, when the colonists declared war against Great Britain for the freedom of man, the African was part of that declaration. It wasn't just the European colonists. The African was part of that declaration. The African fought against Great Britain for the same freedom that the colonists fought for. And this is why Jefferson, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he said, all men are created equal with unalienable rights endowed by their creator. See, now, he recognized law. He recognized the law in the creation that all men are free. He studied some very religious texts himself, not just the Bible. He wasn't a Christian at the time. He was a deist. He said that in all men are created equal with unalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That alone is a foundation on which everybody will be able to live in some sort of harmony. And if there is no harmony in today's world, then we know that those rights that Jefferson put in the Constitution of, in the Declaration of Independence have been violated. And it was violated by the use of the Constitution. The Constitution was invented 8 to 10 years after the Declaration of Independence, after we had won our freedom from the British. And in that Constitution, which they wrote in a closed meeting, they put armed guards on the door to keep people from coming in. Many of the colonial Americans of the time disagreed with that, but they didn't have enough votes to vote it out. Jefferson never signed the Constitution of the United States. Madison never signed the Constitution of the United States. In fact, Madison was one of the, he said that before he would sign a Constitution like that, he would rather cut off his right hand. He said vocally that the slave trade should be abolished. See, these were men of integrity, but there wasn't enough of them to outnumber the financial predator amongst the European American. The financial and political predators wanted to use their financial control to grow bigger societies and stronger societies and take advantage of any group, even his own people, whatever was necessary to build their great empire. When they made this Constitution, they said only white men, they used the term white in the Constitution, which was invented earlier in the 1600s. There's no such thing as a white man, that most of us know that by now. There's no such thing as a white man or a black man. Those are colors, and that's a child's language they're using to manipulate the minds of the people. They're Europeans, they're Africans, but you determine a person by their place of origin. Where did they originate from? That'll tell you the biological heritage and the cultural heritage of that person. So they use this trickery term, white, because when they wrote that term in the colonial law, it said if you play the part of a white man, privileges, you can vote, you can carry weapons, you can marry who you want, and you're not required or will never be put into any form of slavery like the Africa. So most of the European Americans went along with that tagging of being white. That is carried, that's in my book, in that chapter on tagging. So in this Constitution, the United States Constitution of America, where they wrote in there that Africans couldn't vote. Now, that went on for 100 years or so. So that means the whole entire time that the government was being formed, it was being formed by people who did not have our best interests, the African Americans' best interests. So in their interests, they did everything to try to abort the African American culture because slavery was now being ended. They didn't need for their mechanisms anymore, the African. The cotton gin was in, things of that nature. So the African to them was just taking up space, being in this place, social goods and the natural goods of the earth, being a state of competition. And so that caused the African to take on another position, now that they was written out of the government. So they began to develop on their own. And then when they did sign the Emancipation Proclamation, it gave some of the Africans who still were in slavery on some of the other states, because all the other states had already abolished slavery after in the Revolutionary War. After the war, the Civil War, Africans began to make progress, and they became part of the government. And that was a time and place they said, okay, you can be part of the government. And they did that for 12 years. Then they brought in another law called Jim Crow, that Jim Crow law. This impede the progress of the African American people, keeping us from developing our own culture. And then by 1896, they took the Constitution and wrote in that Constitution that segregation was constitutional. See, this diabolical scheming that took place in and dwarfing and quiet and cutting off and aborting the African American culture that we couldn't grow in freedom like they were growing in freedom. We couldn't grow side by side because every step we take, they would make a new rule, a new law to cut our feet from under us. But again, their scheme did not stop the progress of African American people. We existed in segregation for 36 years, and in that 36-year period, we became the richest group in America, far outdistant Chinatown, far outdistant any of these other groups like the Italian places and the Greeks, the Irish, all of them, Little Italy, where they built those towns like Little Italy, none of them could stand to the shoulders of the African-American community. We had over 134 banks during that time. We had, you heard the story of Black Wall Street, where we had Black Wall Street not only in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but Richmond, Virginia, Durham, North Carolina, the south side of Chicago, out in California, Seattle, all over. We were developing financially, economically, and talking about food, we had our own food places. We had our own farm systems. We had started a trucking industry. We had a grocery line that went from all the way, grocery store line that went all the way from New York all the way out to Los Angeles, California. And stopping with different towns where African Americans were setting up stores and hotels. Some of our stores, like Boley, Oklahoma, had their own depot, home or their railroad depot, post office, everything. African Americans were growing so fast that one of the reports came back that was in the paper that I was blessed to get my hands on, and you will have that opportunity too, that said in the 1932 study, it showed that the African, they said Negro in the study, the Negro was growing to his place of self-sufficiency as any nation would have done in this place. They identified us as a nation growing within a nation. This is back from up until 1932. But they don't tell you about this in school because it will inspire your children to want to be themselves. It will inspire you to want to be yourself. The dream of our forefathers, we need to know more about it. And the more we know about it, the sharper we will be toward its destiny and our destiny. And when the Europeans saw us advancing so fast on segregation, they came up with another scheme. They developed a scheme called social integration. I know many African Americans think that African Americans developed social integration, but we didn't. It was a European American that did it. And he did it because he had to figure out a way to stop the growth of the African American people in this independent cocoon kind of shell, economically, politically. We had hospitals all over the place. Doctors, lawyers, towns fill up with this. They saw this independency coming. And to them, it was a greater threat than what the South made toward the North in the Revolutionary War, in the Civil War, excuse me. Our forefathers was building a financial enterprise that was rivaling every other financial enterprise in America. So they had to figure out a way to break it down. And the way they did it was through social integration. In my book, I show how they used some of our greatest stars, like Sidney Poitier and others, over a 17-year period, created the movies that would break down the European Americans. They had to go at the European Americans' mind, not the African Americans' mind. See, African Americans think they was influencing them, but African Americans just came along with the show. They were after and social integration, the European financial predator was trying to influence the mind of the European American, especially European American woman, because they knew if they can switch the European American woman to look at the African American as a man and then take him on as a mate, that would change the whole complexion of the African American community. And it would cause the European American to accept them. And what did that accept them mean? All it meant that we didn't gain anything from them. All it was that we would socialize with them. We can go where they go and public accommodations. Nothing was gained. We didn't get General Motors. We were building cars. They didn't help us build more cars. Patterson was building cars. He built his first car in 1915. Same time Ford built his car. Now look at the size of Ford. This will give you some idea at the power we had and what we was doing. Patterson built his car in 1915. Ford sold his first car in 1915. Now look at the Ford company. Even if our automobile companies didn't grow that fast, let's say if it just grew one Ford Motor Company, look what we would have. When you multiply that time, Ford, Cadillac, all these other car companies that came into existence. That's what we would have had. But they saw it coming. So their best bet was social integration. Give the African Americans nothing. Just a promise that we'll let them come in our churches or our schools or wherever we are, we'll let them come. We might even let them come on our beaches, on our beaches and swim in the water with us. We might do that. But we won't give them anything. We won't give them a stake in America. In fact, we won't even loan them the money to build the General Motors debt like we have. We won't loan them the money to build industry. This is what they did with social integration. And the whole scheme was to stop the progress of the African American. And impeding the progress of the African American is sort of like put a chokehold on our culture. Culture has a natural process in it, just like the laws and nature that we talked about a moment ago. Culture has these same principles in it. Culture will produce the next generation to be positive, productive, prosperous. Culture will do that because the culture identifies and give a positive identification to the people of that culture, creating a positive self-image. But when Carter G. Woodson made that statement in the 1930s about if we don't know the biology and the history of our past, we would have lost inspiration. He meant by inspiration, he meant we would lost the desire to want to build something for ourselves, because that's what the inspiration the human being gets. The human being gets the inspiration to build something for himself. If he lands on an island, a desert island, he tried to build something for himself there. He tried to build shelter. He'll do something, find some way to eat. He would do things to better himself. And that's the value of knowing who you are. That's the value of knowing your culture. We think our culture, they told us this, the Europeans' version of what they call black history, tell us that our history is somewhere under the sands in Arabia or in the pyramids or those kind of nature, because the people had dark skin like we have. They won't tell us the real story. They won't tell us the real story that our people were the mostly Western Africans who were from the west part of Africa, and the native of American, we call African, who was here when they came, the Aboriginal people here, and even Europeans. That combination was what made the African American. And to make us even more unique than the Africans who went to South America and Jamaica and other places like that, in America is the only place they had breeding, slave breeding, because they entered the slave trade in America. In order to keep slaves, they began to breed the slaves. They would breed the positive or the strong slave with the strong male with the strong female. And this breeding process took place right here in America. And to get some idea of what that really meant, only takes one generation to improve upon the former generation, genetically speaking. One. They do it with the pit bull, the American pit bull. It's from the British Terrier and the British Bulldog. Those two, they breed them together. That next generation, it was a pit bull, and they did it again. That next generation was a pit bull. Then they could mate the pit bulls together. Then the pit bulls produced the pit bulls. And that's the same process that was used during slavery, but they wasn't trying to make us better individuals and better people to benefit ourselves. They were trying to make us better slaves for them. Because their mind, their vision, didn't see the end of slavery. They saw slavery as being forever, something they would have forever, taking care of their people. Process made a uniqueness in our people. Do you think that jazz just floated out of the sky somewhere, calmly floated down into somebody's horn or somebody's piano and start playing itself? No, jazz came out the genius of the African-American people. Medicine, jazz, all these things that's in America that was invented by our people came out of our genius, our nature to produce something. When they looked at Henrietta Lacks' cell and they found that it can cure polio and all these other diseases, they knew that the African-American people's cell was different than any other cells on the planet. This one writer wrote, it's why they believe that the African has the greatest record in the Olympics, running faster than all other people in the world in terms of the majority. 95 to almost 100% of all of the winners in the Olympics in the last so many years the Olympics have been run are African Americans from America. And the other ones are Africans from Africa, and some of them went to Jamaica and a couple other places. But the majority are African Americans. Baseball players, football players, basketball players. Don't take that lightly. Don't take it lightly that the African American could play basketball great. Don't think that that does not mean that all our cells, all our genetic makeup has been improved. They just want us to think it's only in basketball, it's only in dancing, it's only in those things, so we won't think that it's in our intellectual power to be creative, to develop, to get our doctors, talking about food and cures. If our children was taught to read science before they was taught to dance, they would become doctors and scientists finding the cure for us, for the African American. Those things that we need to make our lives better and stronger. We can make our children doctors because we did it already. During segregation, we were producing doctors all over America. In fact, we had cut out some of the diseases that plagued the European American during that time when we had our own medicine. This is no small thing. I know you may think it's no small thing. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Our destiny is the dream of our forefathers, and our forefathers saw themselves as becoming the most powerful in terms of economically and scientific people in the world. they wasn't just aiming at America. They were making products in America and selling them all over the world. People like Annie Malone, who was the first African-American billionaire. She had over $14 billion in the 1920s. $14 million in the 1920s. Had over 75,000 employees and graduates from her school of teaching the African-American women how to groom themselves. Mary Kay, I know many of you are part of Mary Kay now. Mary Kay wasn't close to Annie Malone. It's just that Mary Kay was permitted to continue and didn't have the obstacles that they were put up in front of the African-American people. But we can overcome them because we know our forefathers overcame segregation. And don't think we overcame segregation because they caused integration. That was a scheme. Overcame segregation because we were becoming independent. We were becoming self-sufficient. What better way to overcome oppression than become self-sufficient? If you become self-sufficient, you're not oppressed anymore. Have your own movie theaters. And we started the Negro League, had our own baseball league started. All those things we had going. We had overcome it. We had overcome segregation to the point that we were becoming independent, self-sufficient. We have the ability and the power to do the same thing in social integration. The European may not see it. We may not even see it. And the only reason we don't see it, because we don't see beyond the scheme that the European has planned. You know, Martin Luther King's niece said that genocide, the European American was practicing genocide on American population, African American. Home health things with these family programs that they caused for the good of people. All they were doing, according to the scientists, was aborting, trying to get these young African American women to abort their children. Then they came with drugs in our neighborhood. We didn't bring heroin in America. They brought heroin in America. But they don't like to talk about that because the finger being pointed at them. We didn't know anything about it. So they brought it into our communities, and if people got hooked on it, then they started doing it too. Same thing they did with the Native American. Native American didn't know nothing about alcohol, but he got hooked on the alcohol brought to him by the Europeans. And they were manipulated. They were manipulated, and they brought smallpox in America in blankets to kill off the Native American. There's several companies. Brother Rashid, I know, I don't know what time you have in terms of
I was just ready to say, you know, we're going to have to bring you back and finish that up. I want to have some time left over for those who may have a question based on what you have been talking about, this historical connection that we're making with why we're thinking the way we're thinking. And, of course, you kind of covered some bases on the soup, on the soil and the food and so forth and so on. So we have a kind of a connection between the distortion of our bodies and our thinking process and also the distortion of our mind prior to going into this. And, you know, I just want to say this one thing. This is IWDM Radio. This is Rashid Salam, your host for the night show and your engineer. And I just want to say, you know, a lot of times, you know, what we're talking about, what you're talking about, it requires people to really pay attention to themselves and look in that mirror and do some research. And we talk about on this show all the time about soil depletion and what they've done to the soil and the soil creating bad crops. And all of a sudden now we've got synthetic foods that's been approved. We have junk food. We have all these particular things, and we're consuming this stuff, and we expect to think right. So this is what this program is all about, to provoke thought and, you know, give you an opportunity to think about yourself and think about your family, think about your children, think about the things that you're doing that we got we live in a kind of a toxic life mentally and physically, and that's what we want to address. So if anyone on the line that has a question, please press 1 on your phone, and I'll be able to connect with you, and you can ask any questions you want to ask to Shahid Abdullah, and I think Abdul Shahid is still on if you have a question on some healthcare information. But it's a beautiful story. I mean, the storytelling is taking place here. We need to finish. We need to complete it. And so we're going to have to bring him back on another day so he can finish laying this on us, because these are things that we don't know about. We haven't heard about. And research has been done for us to understand that there is knowledge available to us, not misinformation, not disinformation, not lies. We're bringing you the truth on both ends of on the spectrum, the truth. So anyone who has a question about what's been said in the last hour, please press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you into the queue. You can ask the question that you want. Now, we talk about ourselves now, so there should be no excuse for anybody not to have a question, because now we're talking about our history, our culture, what we should know and what we don't know. And so anyone who has a question, please press 1, and then we'll have Shahid answer those particular questions for you. You know, and I have a question. If you don't have a question. You know, the importance of Larry, hang on. We do have a question. Just popped up here. Hang on just 1 second. Let's get this. And go ahead and say what you have to say while I'm pushing the button. Go ahead.
Okay. There is a question I think we all I would like to get to, so we can all see why it's so important that we have to develop this sense of urgency. And yes, if we don't develop the sense of urgency, what we're talking about now and what you're talking about with the food, we become obsolete, because the African-American is in the process under the European-American scheme to be exterminated, to go into what we call a process of extinction. And mm-hmm. species naturally extinct when they don't follow the laws. Remember, we talked about the laws and rules in the creation. Well, there's a law in the creation that says that the female of each group must have 2.1 child that reaches age 15. And if they don't do that, then that particular group will become extinct. Now, you don't see Aztecs in America anymore. You don't see Iroquois. You don't see none of these great people. We had over 65 million Native Americans when the European came here. Now you have between 3 and 5 million. That means that they're becoming extinct because they didn't follow that particular law. That law requires, in order for people to stay here, it requires that they have those children. Now, the African American just 10 years ago was at 2.15, which meant we were far over it. Now we're down to 1.88, which means we need to develop this sense of urgency if we're going to expect our generations to continue. You can forget about the generational wealth. You can forget about the who's going to be where. If we don't produce our future like our foreparents produced us, they won't be here. We'd be in museums standing next to the Apache Indian. We'd be in a museum standing next to the Navajo. Well, you see, that's the only place you see those people now. I know there's a few running around the country, but not enough to make any difference. They can't vote on anything. They can't change anything. They can't do anything. We will be in that same position. In order to avoid that, we're going to have to make some changes in the way we think, not just the way we eat, but the way we think. We got to become the producers like our fathers. That first law that's in the Bible, it's in the terms of the law of preservation and multiply. That's a law. That's a command. Be fruitful and multiply. It's not a suggestion to say, well, a good idea if you be fruitful. No. It says be fruitful and multiply. If you are not fruitful, you won't multiply. That's what it's saying. Right. So we have to understand there's a degree of urgency to all of what we're talking about, and we're going to have to do something about it.
And that's definitely a great question on what we need to do, that's for sure. So we have 539-867. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Yes, sir. Sister Rahima, again, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Salam alaikum. Brother Abdullah, yes, sir. In regards to that, as far as generation or being fruitful is concerned, do you know anything about Tuskegee as far as experimenting is concerned? You know, the European goes in, they just gave them an enormous grant, and they, what they do, they get those students to study the cells, I mean, to do the work, and I don't know why the professors haven't caught, the school hasn't caught on yet, because they use that place to, in other words, just like the BRICS. We were making the BRICS, but the demand was so overwhelming, they took it away from the school and started giving grants to other places and getting the information.
Right.
So they'll go in and give them an enormous grant. And so one of the things that we need to tell everybody, not to let your children go to these Planned Parenthood groups, because the vaccinations that they have been taking has also been shutting down their reproductive cells. So everybody, right at this point, from the news I saw, everybody's stuff is below two right now, and some of them are lower than others, and that's what the European is concerned about. You know, they call it the Browning of America. They're very concerned. So I wanted to know if you knew anything about the experimenting that they're taking now, and are these schools like Tuskegee, are they aware that the European is using them? You know, just like with the lax cells, they did the same thing. They experimented with that, and so now all of a sudden we started having cancer and didn't know where it came from. So can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Yes. This is something that the European does. I know you all have heard the term guinea pig. That's what they use our people for. At one time they didn't even give us any money. Like the Tuskegee is also known for the Tuskegee experiment with syphilis that they did with on our people. But the key here is now they got another scheme going. The scheme now is talking about sickle cell. They tell people they're trying to find a cure for sickle cell. See, just tell it what it is, it's a lie, because most scientists know that sickle cell is a natural cell in the human being that was created in the beginning of the human being, not just Europeans. It was in Africa. In order for the African to survive the malaria that they would get from mosquitoes, they had to have this special cell, and that was the sickle cell. The same thing happened when we came to America down in the South, and thank Almighty God that our people did have the sickle cell, because it was in the South where we were able to unite. And because the European had to leave the Deep South for 6 months out of each year because it was malaria season. And during that time, we all got together and grew. Now, what is happening today is that they are working on, and not just, it's not just one thing. They're working on every aspect they can find, to a limit from the idea of birth control to multiracial marriages to homosexuality. They did an experiment on rats about 50 years ago. They took put all male rats in the cage, had them go out and meet the rats back again, and one of them generated and become the alpha male. He was the alpha, and he was the boss of all the rest of them. They became submissive to him. And so when they took them out and put them in there with the female rats again, only the alpha male would mate. The rest of them wouldn't mate with the females. They found out they could create a condition to cut down on the birth of human beings. They saw birth control, not just not having sex with your wife or your husband, but having sex with the same sex. Having sex with the same sex would produce the same results as abortion, will put the same results as annihilation, because two women can't have babies. Two men can't have babies. It can't happen. If you put all women on one island, all men on another island, you go back in a year, everybody be dead. There wouldn't be no people nowhere. There'd be bones all over the place. Nothing. They can't do nothing to survive that. That's one of the most, that's the most deadliest form of oppression that there is in human existence. The practice of that. Now, I'm not just saying that because, you know, everybody may be against it or not against it. I'm not, I'm talking about the actual facts of it. The actual facts of it. And that's another experiment they're doing. We have to start thinking for ourselves. It's no other way. It's just no other way. We got to start thinking for ourselves. Don't believe them. Or at least don't believe in the first time. They walk in the door and they say, he right. We got to stop that. We have to stop that. We got to examine everything they say, examine everything they do, get our best doctors together, get our best financial planners, financial developers together on these ideas and concepts. And we have to do it expediently because the time is growing short. And as to the other people who are below the self-replacement fertility rate, that's what it's called, they have replacements. In other words, when European could get people from Ireland, they're Irish people over there. They're blooded, full-blood Irish people who can come over here and live as Irish Americans. They're British, they're French, all of them have it. African Americans don't have that. There's nobody in Africa, there's no country in Africa that have that combination of African Americans that what made us. There's no country like that. There's no country anywhere like that. It's only here. We are full-bred here. So if they exterminate us here, they know we exterminated everywhere.
Yes, sir. Okay, and I'll make sure that that question that she asked about Tuskegee, I do have some information, Sister Rahima, about that granting and also the $30 million they got for the plant that they build and so forth and so on. So I am a Tuskegee fan, and I'm real familiar with it, and I stay up on top of it. So you can call me at your own convenience, and we'll get that conversation on, okay?
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
No problem at all. No problem at all. Okay, we got just a handful of minutes left here. We want to make sure you get your closing remarks in, and also Abdul Shaheed get his closing remarks in. And we have one more hand that's raised. Anybody else who has a question, please raise your hand. Press one on your phone right now so we can make sure we get your question answered while we have the program going today. So we have 111, Sister Mina. Welcome to the call.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Walaikum assalam.
Yes, I'm calling from the Atlanta area, as you all know. I wanted to ask, there's been a lot of research done on the history, the sordid history of mental health experimentation on African Americans since the beginning of at least the century, you know, where there's always been some type of pharmaceutical drugs, some kind of whatever they came up with to alter our brain or realities or use to call us crazy and all of that. What is a way that we can really avoid being experimented on, because this is actually has happened all this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look back, and I know it's a short amount of time, but just that's just something to please,
address.
You know, explore the information on. Please, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll get a couple.
The first thing, the first thing we have to do is begin to embrace our culture. We have to start embracing our culture, and we, as a network of people, we have to start collaborating and understand that the European American, those of them who want to help us, are not enough of them to outvote the ones who don't want to help us. So we have to embrace our culture and begin to form ourselves all over in terms of groups, the little groups that we don't have to be no special anything. Like these, we have all kinds of parenting groups. We have all kinds of, we should form one separate group working with all of them all across the country. And we start passing these ideas that you're talking about to each other. We're coming to information almost simultaneously because we'll be connected. We have to start connecting ourselves to one another We have to start connecting ourselves to our past, and our past will be able to solidify our future. It bring us together. It will make us closer, and we'll trust each other more. And once we do that, then we can start overcoming these schemes that the European American has. You can believe he has schemes.
Okay. And Brother Abdul Shaheed, you want to answer that question too, since it was a mental health piece that may add some value to Sister Amina?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly thank Brother Shaheed Abdullah for sharing all this excellent information and his expertise from his studies. We certainly appreciate that. But here's the connection, Brother Rashid. If we just took full responsibility for our own action, this is what we must do. We must take full responsibility. The Almighty has gifted us with everything that we need. It's inside of us. It's not outside of us. Everything we need is inside of us already. We have our genes, and the genes came from our ancestors. Within the gene, we find the histone and the nuclear histone. They are the two angels that will cause everything. Every subtle mood change in the person is recorded. It's all there. We've done this before, and we can do it again to build up our own people, to build our own community, and do what we need to do. There's three neurotransmitters. If we can learn to produce these three neurotransmitters, we have the knowledge to do it. It will remove all of the effects of slavery from the past. Number one, acetylcholine for intelligence. Number two, serotonin. Number three, norepinephrine, how to deal with stress and situations, and produce the enzyme called acetylcholine esterase, and focus on what symptoms you teach. This is all we have to do. It will change our thinking. We become more empathetic towards each other. We have the patience and the constancy to stick with it. And we begin to correct our mistakes, not only our, but our parent mistakes. This is what progress is all about. This is how we get ourselves from being stuck where we are. And this is how we put our children on the path. They are watching us. They are learning from us, believe it or not. You might think they're not learning. They're learning everything from us. And when it comes time for them to perform, they will. They are the most creative creature ever. We have to do our part to prepare them. We have to establish ourselves. That's our job, establishment. If we can take care of that by improving our health to do, we have what we need. We have the science to improve our health, that will improve our brain. We know how to do all these things now, to nourish the brain. All these things we know how to do. No doubt about it. Thank you.
Yeah. That's it. So, Sister Nina, one of the things that I wanted to say is that this program was about uncovering the scheme of mental health and culture. And as you heard tonight, that we're talking about those things that we don't know and we didn't know. You know, we know they're going to continue doing what they do to us. They're going to do everything they can as long as we don't know. And once the scheme is uncovered, we can share with our community and what both of them are talking about. It's coming together in unity and working together so we can inform each other with proper information, not disinformation. And they'll quit doing these things on us because we won't allow it as a community. We won't allow this as a family or individuals for them to experiment on us in the manner which they've done in the past. So I just want to say that to add value to what was being said. And somebody mentioned the word genius today. And the word genius is the word gene. So I think he talked about the histone gene, that everything is right there that we need, but we need to tap into it. And the only way we're going to tap into it is do what both of our guests have said tonight: study, research, prepare, eat right, think right, do right, and research and educate ourselves as best we can, and coming together as a community, as an association community, and begin to do the things we need to do. So we're running short on time. So we're going to have our closing remarks from you, Brother Shaheed and Abdul Shaheed, on how you could be reached, how you could participate in purchasing the book of Shaheed Abdullah. He has several books on the marketplace. So you want to give that information and give some closing remarks, we appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother Rashid, and all of your listeners, and your other guest, Shaheed. Yes, all my books can be purchased, and much of what you heard me talk about this evening come from my books, from the Success is Automatic, which was the first book I wrote, and I wrote that because I studied the Quran. I couldn't find anything in the Quran or any other religious book that said that God created man to fail. So the only conclusion was left that man's created to be successful. And if man falls down, God said he'll pick him up. He said, if you go wrong, turn back to me. So that means we are created to be successful. And my second book, of course, dealt with, it was a novel that dealt with Black Wall Street. I'm sure most of you have heard of that, what happened to Black Wall Street, and incorporated the history of our people in it. And the third book was Spirit of Bilal, Community is Born, Calling the World to Human Excellence. That showed the development of that book, that one of the principles of culture that I talked about, religion. We came from Turner all the way up to Father Divine, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Drew Ali, Imam Wafi Muhammad, and several other Christian people, leaders who were doing very well. Some of them are passed now. But it showed that we were developing our religious understanding, and that book covered that particular aspect of our growth. And the final book was, the last book was Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing the Evolution of the African-American Culture. And that carried much of what we talked about tonight. That carried the bulk of it. So you can purchase all of these books on Amazon. Other than the book that I mentioned, The Negro Market, where that research was done in 1932, you have to contact me directly for that book. But all the other books are on Amazon, or you can call me directly at 908-296-2558. Brother Rashid, 908-296-2558. And I'll be more than grateful to answer your call and fill your order. So thank you all very much, and may God bless you all and keep you strong. Brother Shaheed. Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Abdul. You want to give your closing remarks as well and give us the phone number, the website address, and all the good stuff that you offer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Brother Rashid, we'd like to say that we thank you for engineering us and being a co-host for tonight. We certainly appreciate it. Excellent host. This came together quite well, and we certainly appreciate being a part of it. It is our aim and objective every week on the Science of Health in You and on other programs that we're on to enlighten health-conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. That's what health is all about, taking care of our cells. And all of the signs and the example of what we need to do is already within us. Those 11 systems, they're already there. All we got to do is take the sign and move out. Planet Earth, this is what scintometers say. Planet Earth is well known in scintometry as an echo chamber of illusion. Don't fall for them. The Quran warns us about the illusion here. Don't fall for those illusions. And it's also a testing ground. We're here to be tested. Are we failing the test? Yes, we are. But we can do better. And that's what our role is to do better. So we're here to help people to overcome these booger traps, so health will not continue to be denied us.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to do that. So we encourage people to go to the website of the American School of Scintometry. A lot of information is posted there, and the website is amsos.org, amsos.org. Health is more than just eating food, fighting diseases. It's much more than that. It teaches us, scintometry is about teaching us to be human beings. And become the very best possible human that we possibly can become on every level. Every level, brothers and sisters. So we have a show on AM 360 every week That show time has changed to Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'd like for you to join us for a new episode of Optimal Health. Is coming Monday. Bring somebody with you. You're going to be hearing us speak about some earth-shattering things as far as our health are concerned and how to get our health back, how to be empowered. Nobody can control us. We have to be empowered again. And this is what health is all about. So please join us, and we look forward to a new episode of The Signs of Health in You also on next Tuesday, and you already know the time. And Brother Rashid, we'd like to give out our contact information. Anyone have a need to contact us? Every disease is curable. Not 10 years from now, not 30 years from now, right now. We need to get it into our head that every disease is curable. Sickle cell, cancer, you name it. It's just a name. A disease is an imbalance in the human body. And we know how to put things back to balance, removing the negativity. This is what it's all about. We know how to do that. We have the expert from the American School of Symptometry and a new therapeutic science called symptometry. This is how we evolve ourselves, brothers and sisters. There's no spookiness. This is how it's done. So please feel free to contact us by calling 678-572-7269. That number again is 678-572-7269. You may also send us an email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And Shaheed is spelled S-H-A-H-E-E-D. And we look forward to a new episode, Brother Rashid, on next week. And we certainly appreciate all your assistance and all your good work. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Once you give us the closing like you did last night when I was on your show on Monday, the statement by Dr. Nardi, what was that statement again?
Oh, yeah, that's a fantastic statement. I have a bunch of those. Here's what Dr. Nardi says. We like to always quote him. That's excellent. I thank you for reminding us.
No problem.
It is the understanding of the energy phenomena that got bacteriologists, virologists, parasitologists, pathologists, and physicians to have absolutely no clue about energy production by the cells. This is why they all concluded that our cells are worthless. For this reason, they had to focus on the production of antibiotics and replacement for human hormone, replacement for human neurotransmitter, replacement for essential like heparin, and other enzymes. Our own body produces everything, Brother Rashid. This is what we must know.
Yes,
our own body. That's what nourishing
them
and taking care of them is all about. This is what Maxwell Norton, the founder of the American School of Symptometry and the symptom matrix science called symptometry, this is what he quoted. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So this is pretty cool. Fits right in line with what you just said. I just wanted to make that connection because I heard that last night. So, you know, now they're talking about synthetic food, GMO seeds, genetically altered food, and we can't find anything really that makes us have healthiness. So we have to create our own situation and circumstances, our own formula, and try to redo what we know is wrong. So with that, we want to thank all those who are on the show today. You make IWDN what it is because you listen, you call in, you ask a question. So we do have other programs that exist here on IWDN. So we're going to have our public service announcer come in and tell us what's getting ready to happen for the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday here on IWDN Radio. So Mark Shaheed, you want to give those announcements, my good brother?
Yes, first of all, I want to say assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid, as-salam, and to your very distinguished, esteemed co-host tonight. Excellent production from Shaheed Abdullah and also Abdul Shaheed. Excellent production. And the beat goes on here on IWDN Radio, as tomorrow, Wednesday, will be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. and we will be talking about clear, effective communication. So you don't want to miss that. And then following the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab will be the MGM Roundtable hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I will have three very distinguished guests, some of the principals of this year's 2022 Time to Be Grateful that was held at the nation's capital this past weekend. You don't want to miss that. We'll do an overview of some of the highlights for those of you who were not there. You want to tune in, so make sure you get that word out to your friends and family, community members to tune in. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And we also want you to know that we will be introducing the new theme that will be for 2023. So you wanna listen in. It's going to be the theme for IWDM Radio that will be announced tomorrow. Thursday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is, of course, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir out of the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL Atlanta, Georgia. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And when you know it, our topic will begin a mini-series on communications and relationships. It just happened like that. But both of these learning labs will be dealing with communications, and that'll be at least a month or maybe 6 weeks of communications and relationships. So you don't want to miss the intro for that. And each and every Friday, we know that's slot to Juma Day for those who are mobilized and can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. It begins each and every Friday afternoon, at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio, once again with the very distinguished esteemed email Mikhail Sayer, Words Make People. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And the beginning of the week, you just heard it live, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed host, Rashid Salam. Is off returning co-host, instructor Abdul Shaheed, and tonight a very special facilitator, Imam Shaheed Abdullah, joined him here. And so that happens each and every Tuesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. I want to say also to remind you to make sure you keep your subscription to the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. And if you have the wherewithal, look at making a gift to those who may not be able to have a prescription to the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, what a wonderful production tonight. And this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Salamu alaikum. Back to you, Rashid.
We want to thank you for being here tonight, and we want to close out with a beautiful song, with a beautiful thought. Wake up! It's an emphasis on that was you'll hear it all the way throughout the night's program. That we have to begin to change and do change in a completely different way. But with that.
Wake up, all the teachers. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment Day, but won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, just you and me.
Thank you. It's all, folks. See you next week.